And it goes on, I thought. We was on the light of God and go over it real quick, just real briefly. And the source of light, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And we learn this from God from creation. He created light and He separates light from dark. This is His attribute. This is who God is. And then we know according to 1 John that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If you say that ye have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, ye lie and do not the truth. And we know that. So we see the source of light, the substance of light, that Jesus Himself said, He is the light that's coming to the world. Then we see we are standing in the light, that we're a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, and we're called in that branch. And my thought, and Pastor got into it, I'm glad I didn't get into it, because his message plowed into it, and it was walking in the light. And that's where we're going to start today, is walking in the light. And this is a true testimony of a missionary on the field. And he says, "Have you ever heard the gospel?" A missionary asked the chairman, and "No," was the reply, "but I have seen it." You ever seen people you know that there's something different about them and it draws you to their life and there's whatever they got, I want it. They're different than everyone else. But he goes on to say, "No," was my reply, "but I have seen it. I know a man who was a terror of the whole district. No, he was at times as fierce as a wild animal, and was also an opium smoker. When he accepted the Jesus religion, what he calls it, he became quite changed. Now he is meek, no longer wicked, has given up his sin habits. I can see by that the gospel and the service for Jesus are good." So then he goes, "I ain't heard the gospel, but I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Myself, know who I used to be and know whatever's happened in my life, it has changed me totally, completely. I'm a different person who I used to be." And walking in the light is, it can be a habit that you make habitually. And I got that word from Psalm 91. Read it with me. Psalm 91. But walking in the light, it's a process that we have. We can get up in the morning and you can say, "Well, I don't start walking with God until I have my coffee first." You know, we could be that way. We could get out of the bed and mullet grub and say, "The floor is cold and man, it's too hot in here or my legs hurt so bad." And I was riding in the car and I was having trouble breathing and I wanted to naturally start complaining. Then I looked up and I said, "Oh God, there's such people far worse than me. Lord, forgive me for my complaining. I am blessed far above what I deserve." And when you have a heart, it helps. It helps whatever ailments you may have, it will help you. Psalm 91. Let's read it all together. It's just too good to just leave anything out. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Now remember what I said. What was my favorite memory verse? Who? Psalm 119:105. Who can quote it? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We've heard it since Sunday school. We teach it in Sunday school, but boy, it's where the tire meets the road in a Christian life. Thy word, this book, thy word. And we must make a habit of going to this book. Now let's read the rest. So his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth in noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now note these words. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Give me some thoughts on habitation. What's that mean to you? Where you live. Thy habit, that's who you are. What you eat, what you drink, what you breathe, who you're around. Thy habitation. And it says here, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because thou hast made. In other words, you made a conscious decision to make the Lord thy dwelling place. How did it start off? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a promise there, isn't there? Is not there a promise there? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Is not that the sweetest, safest dwelling place you could be at any time in your Christian life? Now look at the other one. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. This is one the old devil was trying to quote at him, wasn't it? To keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Here's the word. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my roof, thy habitation. Because he has set his love upon me. Because he hath known my name. We hear everything. We pray in the name of Jesus. And I just want to bring a quick thought here. You hear everything done in the name of Jesus. Jesus saves on the sign outside. Our tracks is full of leading people to Jesus. But the Lord Himself, according to His Word, He has magnified His what? His Word above His very name. Even so, when He spoke with Moses, Moses says, what's your name so I can tell the children of Israel who you are? I am. In other words, don't pay attention what my name is. Pay attention what I'm telling you to do. He has magnified His Word above His very name. Thy Word is a lamp. And I know I'm trying to get people to read their Bible more, ain't I? Yes, I am. If I can convince you of all things to do that, this is the key. If you're not reading, you're not in the light. Can't be. It's impossibility. So thy word is a lamp to our feet and light. So walking in the light, that's what we need to do. So we see here, there's three becauses here. I like that. Name the Father, name the Son, name the Holy Ghost. It looks, sounds good, don't it? Because thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. You chose to put God in your life, in your prayers, in the Word. You've chose to set your love upon Him. You chose to know His name. You make that decision in your life. So walking in the light, in 1 John 1 verse 7, and we've quoted it earlier, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. John 8:12. Boy, time flies by. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Another one. And Ephesians 2 and verse 1 and 2. And you hath he quickened, and this was in your message, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let's look at Ephesians 5 together. Ephesians 5. Look at verse 8 together. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So if we walk in the flesh in anger, if we walk in malice, if we walk in covetousness, are we walking in the light? Well, not, are we? And it's real easy. Oh, it's the easiest thing there is to do to get carnally minded. It happens just drop of a hat. I can see a four-wheel drive truck, you know, big tires on it go by and it go by and I'm... Now, I know, Dave, but David ain't got no problems like that, none at all. He's so spiritual. But it's easy, and we have to really be careful because our flesh is so prone to wander because we covet those things. Somebody was showing crappie pulled through the eyes, and I wanted to be there so bad. I said, I can smell them cooking in the skillet already. But all those things draws us to being in content and where we're at right. And our minds, I'm just giving examples how easy it is and how prone to wander we really are. So to walk in the light, it's a continual walk and to keep ourselves mindful of where we're at, what we're doing. I can be so overwhelmed. My wife's going to surgery tomorrow and that's just everything in my mind. That's all I'm thinking about. Now, is worrying a sin? Who can tell me? I'm seeing some head nods. Yes, it is. Very much. That means my faith in God is not too great. I'm just being honest. It's what it is. So concern, we'll change the word to not to worry, but to be very concerned about it, that would help. So, but to keep our faith and our walk with God in the light. Walking in the light as He is in the light. So, for ye were sometimes, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. Let's read together. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth maketh manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Key words, light. Remember the first thing God created was light? He separates the light from the darkness, and one of the greatest things that He does, in the new heaven and new earth, what's He do with darkness once and for all? He eliminates it. It's gone. So for darkness to be gone, somebody else must be gone too. Who's that? Oh, I'm seeing smiles on people's faces. My goodness, we're a church now. Amen. The devil's gone. Hallelujah, boy. Glory to God. I'd make a Presbyterian shout. The devil's gone. He is the prince of darkness. So we need to determine our lives, to determine more than ever, not to fall into his snares, his traps, because that leads into ways of darkness. And I know you hear it all the time that there's a gray area creeping into the church. Well, it's not that bad. According to God's Word, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So there's no gray, is there? It's pure, it's radiant, it's holy, it's spotless. It is without sin. And I know I look at myself in the mirror too and said, Oh, he needs help. I know you, buddy. I know you, old critter. You know you too. We are so prone to wander. But to please, that's why it gets so sweet in a service. You get enough people when they're in tune with God and all they want to do is please Him. God can't help but to show up and just start moving about. He starts moving through the pews. If there's one sitting out there lost, and he can really deal with him something. That's how I got in. Man, I thought somebody put a plague on me. I stood and shook. I was vibrating from my little toe to the top of my head with fear of God. Knowing my condition with God, I needed to get right. And there's enough people in there walking with God that the light of God pierced through me and was shedding some truth to my mind. And it scared me to death. Someone said, someone's scaring the hell out of you. That's what they did to me. I knew where I was going, straight to hell, and I was going quicker than some other folks was going. And I knew. And God was putting light in to help me see. And oh, that we walk as children of light. Walk as children of light.